buy the idea that, you know, the society the way it is right now, it has to be this way.
Welcome to Rewrite the Rules with your host, Alex Starr.
So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality.
It's time to live life on your own terms.
What do you really want?
What's up, everybody? I am in on a Saturday night doing some work and recording the intro to this podcast. So I hope everyone is doing fantastic. And was curious if anybody has been wondering about Cuba, about traveling to Cuba, because I have a sweet deal for you guys. My grandmother was Cuban. She passed away 2 years ago. So technically I am a quarter Cuban. It has a special place in my heart. I visited 5 years ago. It has the most amazing people on the planet, the friendliest people, dancing, food, the ocean, jungles, history, everything you could imagine. And my homie Max owns a travel company called Hasta Cuba, where he curates customizable trips to Cuba. So if you're looking to do a trip solo with a group, maybe with your significant other, and you want to have the whole trip planned out for you from start to finish, or you want to just have different segments planned out in terms of going to specific maybe national parks or beaches or salsa classes, cooking classes, everything from the driver to the actual classes, he can customize and curate for you. So if you guys go to hastacuba.com, which is hastacuba.com, and if you get anything on there when you check out, if you use the code rewrite the rules, you will get 10% off the entire trip, which could turn out to be hundreds of dollars. So if you guys are looking to do Cuba, even just have him planning out a couple of the more unique things you want to do, Max over at Hasta Cuba is the man to do it. He's my homie. I know a few people have gone on trips with him. It's been fantastic. I would trust him with everything. So check it out if you're thinking about doing a Cuba trip, because that place is unbelievable. And Max is a fucking amazing guy. So he'll take care of you. Today's guest is my buddy Willie, who has been on the podcast before. He's actually the first one to be on twice. You can see him in an earlier show that was called Today is the best day of my life. What was it called? Oh, here we go. Today can be the best day of my life. That was number 42. Today we are talking about cryptocurrency. Willie is kind of a serial entrepreneur, an extremely intelligent guy. Love talking to him. Every time I hang out with him, he has started some new venture while I have attempted to go to the gym twice and read half a book. He has, in the meantime, started three different companies. So he's just one of those guys, extremely intelligent. I always feel riled up after talking to him. And we go into kind of the overall themes about cryptocurrency. I don't know that much about it. I didn't know before the podcast. So if you don't, for the future of our monetary system and a bunch of other topics. So I know HStarr on Instagram. Email is alex@alexstarr.com. Would love to hear from you. And most importantly, enjoy this fresh episode with Willie. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
We in business, baby.
Yeah, boy.
What's up?
Let's do it.
We're back. Let's cheers at the beginning of the podcast.
Cheers.
We are drinking Mike's Margarita Classic because there was no beer in the fridge.
Ah. Very refreshing.
Refreshing. All right, man. Welcome back.
Thanks, Alex. I'm happy to be back.
Happy to be back. I'm trying to think. You might be the first repeat podcast guest.
Seriously?
Yeah, dude. I think you are.
That's quite the honor.
Yeah, I got you a Mike's Margarita Lemonade to celebrate. Dude. You're welcome.
I'm flattered.
So we are here today to talk about a subject that makes me feel so stupid when I read about it online.
And I don't think you're alone with that.
Yeah, dude. So just as like a background for everybody, we're talking about cryptocurrency, and I was going to do some research before this podcast like I usually do, right? And we were talking about this. I decided instead to just say, fuck it. I'm not going to know anything going into it, because that way I think a lot of people will be wanting to know the same things I do, because I don't understand it at all.
I think that's a great excuse to not go out there and do all that research.
I'm trying out a new format, all right, man?
No, I think it's a great call because, again, yeah, you know, we're going to be talking to a lot of people who may not understand blockchain or probably don't understand blockchain and cryptocurrency. So I think one of the things that, you know, I've been doing a lot of these interviews, and oftentimes one of the first questions I get asked is, so explain, you know, blockchain to us. Explain cryptocurrency. And it's a very difficult thing to explain, you know, and it's a difficult thing to understand. So I actually don't really want to talk too much about specifically how the technology works. I think if people want to go learn that, they can Google it. Instead, what I want to talk about is really just kind of the benefits of the technology and why blockchain can be disruptive and, you know, change the world and impact all of our lives. And, you know, the potential benefits of investing a small amount of your overall portfolio into this, into these cryptocurrencies.
Right. And I think, yeah, we talked about this, how, like, let's go big picture here. Let's talk about how this is a total game changer for currency as a whole and the world as we know it.
Because that's what matters. You know, how that's the technology works and stuff doesn't really matter.
Say that metaphor you told me when you were talking about this. You remember? We were really baked.
We had just baked some delicious cookies.
Baked some delicious cookies. That's right.
So the metaphor that I use, and I don't know if I came up with this or if someone else came up with it, but it works and I've been using it a lot and it really resonates with people, is that, look, you don't need to understand blockchain technology to understand the benefits and to understand why it's a good investment. And the analogy is, you know, it's just like the internet. So do you understand how the internet works? Do you understand how cell phones or computers work? Most people don't. But that doesn't stop you from understanding the benefits and why it's transformative. And again, investing in these companies that leverage the technology. And so I think when you explain that to people, they say, oh, you know, that's a good point. And that's why today I really want to focus just on the benefits.
So, all right, so let's get into it. So a bank, so when I go to the bank right now, I have Wells Fargo. Let's do it like just literally like my example. All right?
Yeah.
I got my debit card from Wells Fargo. It's tied to the zeros and ones that are attached to my Wells Fargo's checking and savings account,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I have a ton of money in there and, they hold the money. And of course, then they use that money to give loans out to other people and they make the money off the interest and yada, yada, yada. So this is about destabilizing that entire structure, right?
Yeah. And you know,
and how
maybe improving that entire structure or replacing it, because we don't necessarily need it anymore thanks to this blockchain technology.
So what would my, so let's say I go, yeah, cool. Let's use blockchain. What does it look like for me as just me, Alex, you know, doing my normal stuff here? Okay, let's get rid of Wells Fargo and my debit card.
Mm-hmm.
How does that look like? What does that look like?
So what it really looks like to you is you don't have to actually interact with the blockchain. There's these things called wallets, and there's all these wallets you can have on your phone or on your computer, or they have hardware wallets, which is referred to as cold storage. And these wallets are kind of your interface with the blockchain, your user interface. So they make it really simple and easy to interact with these, with the blockchain. And new tools are popping up like Bitfrac, for example, that's just making it much, much, much easier so that the average person won't ever have to touch the blockchain. But what it means for you is that instead of trusting the bank to basically keep track of your account balance and your purchases and your deposits and withdrawals and all of that, you're now trusting a distributed network of computers that are running this blockchain. And the benefits of doing that is that now the biggest benefit is you don't have to trust Wells Fargo, which, you know, even these big banks that we feel like we can trust in America, such as Wells Fargo, have shown us that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be trusting them.
Yeah.
And then also, not only do you have to trust them, but you have to pay them to be this kind of third party or centralized authority and to keep track of this all. So with the blockchain, I mean, obviously it's better to not have to trust anybody, especially when we're talking about, you know, these third world countries where they really have even less trust in the banks and there's much more corruption and less regulation. So it's always better to trust a distributed network of computers that's so far, you know, really difficult to corrupt. And the more people that adopt Bitcoin and start running the Bitcoin blockchain on their computer, the harder it becomes to break it or manipulate it or cheat, basically.
Okay.
And then the second big benefit is that when you're not trusting this bank or this third party, you also don't have to pay for them. So third parties always, you know, create inefficiencies, basically. And it's much more efficient, again, to trust this distributed network of computers than to pay all the bankers and pay for their expensive technology and hosting and security and facilities.
So is blockchain, just so I can kind of wrap my head, I know we don't want to go too deep into it, but is blockchain, that's not the currency, correct?
Correct.
Bitcoin, all that stuff is the actual currency.
Yeah, the cryptocurrency.
The cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin is, let's do a, do you have a metaphor for that? Yeah. I'm sorry, not Bitcoin. What did you say?
Blockchain?
Blockchain, sorry. I can do this sometimes. Blockchain, do you have a metaphor for blockchain for like what that is in relation to, you know, if it's not the currency, what is it?
Okay, so the way I think about blockchain and cryptocurrency is that they're really married. So they're two distinct things, but they're, you know, forever married together. And a way to think about that is that blockchain is the technology that makes cryptocurrencies possible.
Okay.
Before blockchain, we hadn't figured out how to prevent, you know, double spending and stuff. And just because you have, you know, 100 of these digital dollars, how do we ensure that, you know, those are yours? And when you send them to one person, you no longer have them. Now they have them and stuff. And before, the only really way we had to do that was with these banks, basically, these third parties. So blockchain is the technology that makes cryptocurrencies possible.
Okay.
And cryptocurrencies are the incentive that make blockchain possible. So
that's the Bitcoins and things like that.
The Bitcoins, the miners, these computers running this distributed network, running this whole entire blockchain, need to be incentivized to do that. And mining and the cryptocurrency is the incentive that motivates them to run this blockchain and to spend all this money on equipment and electricity and you know, maintenance and security.
Okay, so the people that are running these blockchain networks, are they taking a cut? Because they're making money, right?
They are taking a cut.
So,
and that's okay. The miner fee. So when you
that's
send
the miner fee, and that's supposed that's going to be less than a banking fee.
Yes. I at scale, the idea is that these fees will be almost zero, almost free. But that at scale, all these, you know, penny, you know, fractions of a penny's fees will add up to enough for these to incentivize these miners to run this blockchain. And again, the technology is in the infancy stage, but already we're seeing signs of that working really well.
Okay. So the blockchain, really, I don't need to give a fuck about. I don't care about block. That's the technology, just like you were saying. Don't really need to care.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about like, the currencies.
It's like understanding how the internet works. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. But that's kind of how... Okay, cool. You know what that reminds me of? Remember the movie Office Space?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, remember their little ploy was to take little pennies out from a bunch of different accounts?
And
like every time they withdrew and they add up and they were going to get all, you know, a couple hundred thousand and they messed up on the code and they ended up taking out $10 million from
absolutely
the company.
And hey, that's a great point of even, you know, these big institutions and stuff. At the end of the day, they're made up of people, and people, you know, some of them are trustworthy and some of them aren't. And so that's a great example of how, you know, behind the scenes and stuff, these institutions that we're trusting and stuff could be taking, you know, little pennies or who knows what they're doing, basically. Mm-hmm. But obviously it's better if you just don't have to worry about that at all.
Right. So what would it look like then in terms of like a if we took like a global perspective on this? And it's in its infancy. What do you see happening in the next like 5 years with all this cryptocurrency going down? What do you think that looks like in 5 years in terms of the global economic and, you know, banking status?
Totally. I think it's going to be wild. That's one thing that I think.
Woo!
Yeah, it's going to be lit. The future is lit,
wild.
We like to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy to make some predictions. Nobody knows what's going to happen and stuff.
Yeah, but what are your predictions? Yeah, what do you think it could happen?
I fundamentally believe that cryptocurrencies are the next evolution of money. And if we want to get meta later, we can talk about, I think, the final evolution of money. And I think, you know, I don't think it's the last evolution. I think it's one major stepping stone in the evolution of currency. And I think, you know, if there's alien planets and stuff, they probably have some big milestone where, just like the internet is a huge milestone, I think,
right,
for, you know, a race or a species on a planet. I think that blockchain technology, or basically this distributed network that enables everyone to control their own wealth and to send money to anybody anywhere in the world, or galaxy, for almost free, without asking anyone's permission or without trusting anyone, that's revolutionary. So here's how I kind of see it impacting us on Earth. Right now, there's about 3 billion people in the world who don't have identities. They don't have bank accounts. They don't necessarily have deeds to their property. And blockchain is the technology that's going to make it possible for all these people to have bank accounts and have identities and have, you know, background histories and criminal records and actually own their property. And that's going to be massive. And it's estimated that there's $10 trillion of wealth right now that is just off the grid. And you can imagine, you know, people in these third world countries, you know, they live in a house or a shack that's been in their family for multiple generations and stuff, but they have no way to prove that it's theirs. It's hard for them to apply for a job and stuff when they have no identity. They have money, they have wealth, but none of it's in the bank account. They literally keep it, you know, on them or in their shack. And so you can see, but at the same time too, they might have a cell phone. So you can see that I think the trend, the direction that things are moving in is that these people are going to eventually have all these things, all of these amenities that we take for granted here in America. And blockchain is a technology that's going to enable that to happen. And the banks and stuff, unless they are willing to, and the governments, unless they're willing to embrace this and stuff, are at serious risk. So, you know, one of the really interesting things about the blockchain is that not only is it disrupting, it's going to disrupt banking, it's going to disrupt legal, it's going to disrupt accounting, real estate, all these gigantic industries that really have been able to avoid disruption, significant disruption to date. But it's going to potentially disrupt the government. And government, you know, just like with all disruptions and stuff, you have two choices. You can either fight it, and, you know, we know how it happens to that with examples like Kodak and Blockbuster, or you can embrace it. And not only is embracing it a great way to hedge your risk, but there's also opportunities, massive opportunities for the governments that are willing to embrace it and be progressive. And some governments and stuff like Russia are stepping out, and they are embracing it. And so the U.S., you know, we have an important choice to make. And I think that there are, you know, I'm actually pretty impressed with the SEC and their, you know, what they've said so far about blockchain and cryptocurrencies and stuff. It's not the best, but they are at least, they're trying, they're doing what they can to not stifle innovation and to, you know, regulate it and protect consumers, which I think is all good. But I think it is important for these governments to basically get on board or, you know, risk being displaced, because some things with blockchain technology, like governance, you can have these basically decentralized autonomous organizations where everybody can have a vote and stuff and vote, and it's all transparent and stuff. And again, it's much more efficient than having all these third parties do it, and we don't need to trust anyone. So I think it's possible that a lot of the things that the government is doing right now could be replaced by blockchain, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, the impact that this could have is almost so profound, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, to be honest, because it impacts every aspect of our life.
It's going to be as big, I think, or bigger than the internet, the impact that the internet had on our lives.
Yeah, and I think that it's completely necessary and obvious that this would have happened with the internet. Like, of course, the currency systems that are in place that were in, like, by these structured institutions that are like, mah, mah, mah. This is the way it works, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that's another great way to think about it, is that blockchain is actually enabling the internet to reach its full potential.
Yes. Yeah. I completely agree. Because it is, I think, like, one of the last, like, places that really can revolutionize everything that the internet hasn't touched, right? We've already done transportation. We've already done communication. We've already done relationships. The internet has touched and affected every aspect of our lives except for the monetary system. And now it's affected in the sense that I can go on my app right now and I can pay people on Venmo. But that's not a structural change, right? This is you're talking a, like, massive structural change to what we think of as the monetary system.
Exactly. It's going to be huge.
Which is huge, yeah. Yeah, the hugest. Mm-hmm. Because even though you say, like, oh yeah, money runs your life and all that, and it's cliche. I mean, it entirely does, right? I mean, it's like the core of what everybody does all the time. The decisions you make, the places you move to.
You can't escape it.
Yeah. You can't escape it. The stress you have, the stress you don't have, everything comes back to that.
Yeah, whether you're making $1,000 a day or a dollar a day.
Yeah, it all comes back to that. So what do you think? You were saying, well, a couple things. One, do you feel like, so the big banking systems, right? And of course, all the insurance and everything like that, are they the blockbusters? I mean, like, will they go extinct?
It's up to them entirely.
Is there going to be a world then where, like, we can take out loans for houses and stuff like that using cryptocurrency? Because for me, it's not so much just about the bank account, right? It's not just like my checking. Mm-hmm. People go to there for small business loans, for their car. Like, you know, I got a car loan. Would I be...
All of that can be done by the blockchain.
Ford would be like...
Much more efficiently, in a much better way, basically. Okay. So why would you do these, you know, expensive, inefficient, maybe not trustworthy institutions when you can have this network that you don't have to trust, it's very efficient, and it works, you know? And there's a company out there, Salt Lending. We got to meet their team and their CEO a few weeks ago in Dallas. Awesome team, really bright, great vision, and they're making it happen. They're actually doing loans on the blockchain and using crypto assets as collateral. So you can basically give them your Bitcoin and they'll give you a loan in cash. And eventually, it's just going to be a loan in crypto.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that's what I'm curious about. But here's what I foresee when I think about this. And tell me, maybe this is totally off. I picture me going, I have a lease on a Ford car right now, right? And so I took that lease out, and they do financing through their institution, whoever they used, right? Mm-hmm. They have a financing institution.
And they did a credit check?
Yeah.
And all that credit stuff?
Right.
That can be done more efficiently on the blockchain.
That can be more efficient. But so my question is, I wish you guys could see Willie right now because he's like a foot away from the mic when I'm talking, but then he'll hop back in and be like, that could be more efficient on it.
There's an app for that.
Yeah. There's a cryptocurrency for that. But what I go to automatically is Ford goes, okay, cool. This can be more efficient and it's cheaper and everything. Why wouldn't these companies then... Why wouldn't they, let's say it's going to, my interest rate would be non-existent because there'd just be no interest, or it'd be negligent, right? It'd be 0.01% or something, right? Because it's so efficient. Why wouldn't Ford just jack that up and take the profits off of that gap that used to be there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Ford, if you're listening, you know, I think you should take Alex's advice. And I think some companies are, even some of the biggest banks and stuff, that may publicly say they're against blockchain and stuff like that. They're spending a lot of money either researching and developing these solutions and testing them in-house or scooping up the companies that are doing it. So the smart companies that are going to survive are going to be the ones, I think, that embrace this technology and incorporate it. And again, yeah, Ford now is going to give – they can survive as long as they're giving these loans on the blockchain. Or some blockchain company will pop up to do the loans, and you can't build cars on the blockchain. So Ford will be there, and they'll partner with this company or this – blockchain to network to do the loans. So to answer your question, I think the companies that embrace the technology are going to succeed, and think or have at least a much better chance of succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And the companies that refuse to are going to get disrupted.
Where's the tipping point going to be?
It's driven by consumers. So at the end of the day, I think one of the major changes that is happening is that these blockchain companies are getting better at hiding the blockchain behind the scenes, because again, you know, the average consumer doesn't need to know that it's on the blockchain. All you care about is getting a car at the best interest rate
in
the
right,
you know, in an easy way without having to write any code. So
please, no code.
Exactly. So it's going to take some time for all this, for the infrastructure to get built and for the technology to be developed and improved and scaled and then embraced by these larger companies, but it is happening. So get ready.
Yeah, man. I mean, I wonder where that tipping point is, where we keep hearing about it. Obviously, there was the huge Bitcoin debacle, whatever, 3-4 months ago, right, where it was all over the news. You couldn't, like, take a shit without, like, seeing 5 different things about Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. And it's the new CrossFit.
Yeah, exactly. It's the new, like, vegan CrossFitters. Like, Bitcoin. I was out last weekend, actually, and... my buddy's buddy started talking about Bitcoin, and all of his friends were just like, shut up. He's a Bitcoiner. Stay away from him, Alex. Yeah. I was like, you into Bitcoin, man? He's like, yeah.
Poor guy.
Like,
he's trying to spread the gospel.
Yeah. But I think he's into, I think he was really into the investing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like trying to make money off it.
Once you get into it, it's so interesting. And it really is. It's almost like addicting like gambling is, because you put your money in and it just the value changes so quickly and stuff.
And is that on the stock? Is that on the NY SE? Is that on the New York Stock Exchange? Where do you we can kind of talk about. So you have Bitfract, which is a cryptocurrency exchange converter.
Yeah. Exactly. We're built on top of one of the largest exchanges, Shapeshift.
Okay.
Shapeshift is a unique exchange where you basically send them a cryptocurrency and they exchange it for another cryptocurrency and then send it to your own wallet, so you hold your own funds. A lot of the other exchanges, where such as Binance or even Coinbase and GDAX, where they store your funds basically. So far, there's no way to go through the New York Stock Exchange and purchase Bitcoin, as far as I know.
Okay.
Or any of these cryptocurrencies, yeah.
So this is all done on these alternative sites and programs.
Exactly. Yeah, like, and the Coinbase. SEC is still figuring out how to regulate them.
They'll catch up when you guys are about 10 steps forward from now.
Exactly.
Like most things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's crazy for these companies that are, you know, building technology and building huge companies on the blockchain and with these tokens and doing ICOs and trading them on these exchanges and stuff. But the SEC has, you know, yet to really define the clear rules, basically, and the safe harbors. So it's pretty scary. And a lot of the companies that do these ICOs are getting now subpoenaed by the SEC, basically, to open their books.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is like the Wild West. What's going on?
It's the Wild, Wild West out there. That's great. Really? That's a great analogy, yeah.
So then the company you started, Bitfract, you're doing those exchanges. And where do you make your money then? You're making it, you're taking those little cents off of the transactions then?
Yes, and the cool thing is that it actually doesn't cost a user anything extra to use Bitfract. Because all these exchanges charge fees. And because the name of the game for the exchange is to attract users and drive volume, they're willing to pay affiliates a commission of the fees that they charge in exchange for the volume that the affiliates drive.
Mm.
So we're partnering with Shapeshift, who we really admire and look up to. And they're, again, one of the fastest and securest exchange on Earth. They're the one that doesn't hold your funds. They enable you to hold your funds, which is kind of the whole idea behind cryptocurrency, is that you control your own wealth and finances. So they charge their fees, and we're built on top of them, which enabled us to get up and running very quickly. They had a really great API that we built on top of. And what we do that's very unique is that we were the first company to enable you to exchange one cryptocurrency for up to 70 cryptocurrencies in a single transaction. So you basically send us Bitcoin, you tell us which coins you want, what percentage of all these different altcoins you want, and then we do all the transactions on the back end, which is solving a really big problem for both new traders and even professional traders. Because first of all, I mean, nobody really knows which of these coins are going to be big. Even Bitcoin may not be the final coin that wins. But if you believe in blockchain technology, or if you want to take, you know, you want to take some risk and participate in the potential gains, then what could make sense is to just invest in a diversified portfolio and hold. And I have experienced that firsthand when I was spending way too much time day trading last year. And after, you know, I was beating my initial portfolio and felt great about it. But then after the big crash, I ended up performing worse than if I had just held my initial portfolio, which felt terrible because I'd spent so much time staring at these charts and trading. And so that kind of spurred the idea of, okay, well, let's just make it really easy to invest in a diversified portfolio of cryptocurrencies. We'll add tools like rebalancing to help people, you know, further improve their gains with minimal effort. And we realized, and we've seen from, you know, the past couple of weeks of the market just getting really excited about it, that's solves a big need, and there's a big opportunity there. Because the other user-friendly exchanges like Coinbase only offer, you know, four coins, and that's not very diversified. If we look at the, if you want to compare it in compared to the internet days, most of those companies fail, you know, and most startups still these days fail. But if you're a savvy investor, then you know that it's beneficial to hold 10, 20, 30, even more of these coins or companies, so that you know, even if 9 out of the 10 fail, the ones that do succeed, the next Googles and Facebooks and Bitfracts, are going to make up for the losses from all the others, and then some.
Okay, that's a really that just made it click, because comparing them to different companies, because it's very hard for me when you say that, keep hold on to all these different currencies and hold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do you mean? Like, they're all currency. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. But when you put it as like a company analogy, mm-hmm. where it's like, these are all different company possibilities that might make it to be the new nation or international currency, then you might come out on top, because you got whatever, 100, you know, not dollars, I guess, but
coins, tokens.
100 coins, tokens. So walk me through this. If I'm Alex right now, and I have $100,
uh-huh.
right, in Wells Fargo USD dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do to, like, get to the point where I'm exchanging it? I seriously don't even know where the fuck you get Bitcoins from. Like,
let's do it. Let's go through it.
It's simple. Yeah. Do I go online right now? Like, can I get them on Amazon? What's the deal here?
You could definitely go online and Google it. But it's pretty simple. So we'll go through it.
Okay.
So if you had $100 in your bank account,
yeah.
First of all, I'd suggest probably only investing 5 of it into crypto. You know,
$5.
This stuff's risky. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I think 5% is like a very standard amount that people suggest investing into high risk stuff when you look at your overall portfolio.
Right.
So if overall you have $100 invested in various things, you know, your home, some stocks, some bonds, maybe 5% of that should go to the high risk stuff. And when you look at other high risk options, what do you have? You got penny stocks, which, you know, I would say are as questionable, if not more questionable, than these cryptocurrencies. And you got startups, which again are only accessible to the accredited investors. And it takes a lot of time to analyze all these startups and meet them and make investments and maintain those investments. And again, most investors end up losing money. So if you have $100, I think cryptocurrency is a great is a great place to put 5% of your overall portfolio. And it's much easier, I think, and has, you know, risk reward and time-wise, I think it has the greatest potential. So you take 5% or however much that you're willing to lose of your overall portfolio, and you would go over to Coinbase. And Coinbase is the easiest way to buy cryptocurrencies. They've got an app. It's a super friendly interface. They're compliant. They're probably the most compliant exchange on Earth. They've done a lot of legal work and stuff to kind of pave the road. And they've done, you know, state-by-state compliance for these money transfer laws and stuff. And they ask for your ID and stuff when you register. And it can take a couple of days to get verified. So it doesn't hurt at all to just get signed up. You can even, if you find a referral link, I'm sure one of your friends will be happy to give you a Coinbase referral link. And then if you buy $100 of Bitcoin, you'll get $10 free. So there's, you know, instantly a 10% return. So Coinbase makes it really easy to buy. Just follow the instructions. They do charge some of the highest fees for their ease of use. So if you want to buy it for potentially zero free fees, you can sign up for Coinbase and then go create an account on GDAX, which is owned by Coinbase. So you still get all the benefits of that compliance. And then you can put in a limit order to buy, which I guess this is getting pretty complex. But if you do that, that's one way to avoid the fees.
Well, limit order is the same thing I do when I buy my stocks.
Exactly. So if you're familiar with that, you'll be able
when
to
do
this.
When I buy my stocks, I limit orders.
Yeah, and it is a cool way to avoid fees entirely. Or if you just purchase, like make a market order on GDAX, it's about 0.25%, which is pretty reasonable.
Okay. And then once I have that, let's say I buy the $5 worth of actual Bitcoin, then you go to a place like your place, like Bitfract, which is an exchange place, and then I buy $5 worth of 50 different currencies.
Exactly.
Okay.
You tell us what coins you want. Soon we're going to make it. We're going to release an update where you can actually just copy, you know, the best traders' portfolios. Because again, very few people know which of these coins are going to be successful. But if you have, you know, a network of traders competing and tracking their portfolios and their performance, then what I like to do is I just like to follow the traders that are the most experienced, because nobody has time to research all these different companies and coins and white papers and look at the teams and everything. So rather than wasting my time doing it when I'm trying to build cool blockchain stuff, I'd rather just follow those traders and just copy their portfolios. So we're going to make it really easy for you to invest into you know, a diversified portfolio. And you basically, what you do is you send us your Bitcoin, and then we send that to Shapeshift, and our technology basically batches all these transactions together so that you can do, you know, 70 transactions in a single transaction, so that even the professional traders that know exactly which coins they want to invest in, they've already done all the math in Bitcoin, because you have to buy these altcoins in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're buying it in maybe fractions of a decimal and stuff and trying to do all this math. Even if you've already done that, it still takes a lot of time to go do 20, 30, 40, 50 transactions. It can take all day. Whereas we're basically automating that and doing all those transactions for you. And then we send it to your wallet address, which could... one that we recommend is Exodus. It's a great multi-wallet that you can download. Just search download Exodus wallet. Make sure you go to their actual website, exodus.io, because there's a lot of scams out there. And then basically you can click, Exodus will walk you through it. There's a lot of instructions online, but you have to plug in your address. And their public address is how people know, is how you receive funds, basically. And you can, you know, only your private key, which nobody will see, basically. And you won't even necessarily see it through Exodus unless you really want to. You can just interface it through your own kind of password that you set to access it. Exodus can't even see your private key. Then that's what enables you to send the funds. So as long as you keep your private key safe, then your funds are protected. But it's important to not lose that stuff. So with great power comes great responsibility. So the easiest way to store your funds is on one of these exchanges. But then, you know, if the exchange gets hacked, if they're actually a big Ponzi scheme and stuff, then all your money could be gone. So if you want to prevent that, then the solution is to keep it in a wallet like Exodus, or the safest way to keep your funds is in a hardware wallet, like a Ledger is one that we recommend. A hardware wallet, yeah, which is kind of like a USB drive.
Okay, I was going to say, like hardware, like what I have it, like, yeah, the USB drive I have at home. It's like you actually have it, a physical, like, on you.
Correct. And I actually have one. That's a USB drive. Backpack. Yeah, it's a USB drive, but it has some extra features as well that basically enable you to recover your funds if you lost your USB drive.
Okay. Damn. And it was crazy because right now it's still in that sequence, or it's still in that stage where it is still exchanging initially my US dollar for all this other world. And eventually we're going to get to the point where, like, that first step is going to be gone and all the stuff is going to be just done. I feel like right now we're just in like this giant metamorphosis. We're in this maybe 5, 10, 20 year metamorphosis of this outdated system. And then now, of course, the internet ramping up the monetary system.
Yeah.
And it's all this like exchanges back and forth as this thing starts to grow and expand and eventually break out.
It's almost like a new age, you know? It's like ever since, you know, the beginning of mankind, we've been going through these metamorphoses. But what's happening, I think, is that they're happening faster and faster.
Yes.
And the impact's much more profound and are becoming much more globalized, you know?
Yes.
Which is, I think, is going to be really profound. So it's happening. It's happening very quickly, and it's the impact's going to be huge. And I think a lot of people are afraid of that. I think there's definitely going to be a lot of displacement. But I think overall, it's for the best, as long as we can make it through this displacement. And that's why it's important for the governments to help, you know, protect the people that are going to get displaced. But, you know, if we hadn't had any of these metamorphoses, then we'd still all be farmers. You know, 98% of the world would be farming still. So overall, it's for the best. I think the big displacement is going to be going to, you know, robots running everything, AI and robots, and where a lot of jobs are going to get displaced. And that's one of the things where if we can survive it and get to it, it's going to be great. We're not going to have to work. All the food's going to be grown with solar energy and robots, and we're going to have surplus of everything. We're going to be mining resources from asteroids and supernovas. We're going to be set. But getting there is going to be a pretty wild ride. And, you know, I do have my concerns about the sustainability of mankind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like,
but
man,
I like to stay optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I know. You're very, yeah, of course. Yeah. The last podcast you did was Why Today is the Best Day of My Life was the title of it. So,
which today is also the best day of my life.
Today, today's best day of my life. Yeah. That's right. I said that today actually to somebody. They're like, how are you doing today? And I was like, oh, I'm all right. And I was like, no, today's the best day of my life.
And it throws them off probably. They're like, what?
Yeah. And they're like, really?
It's a curveball for people.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to say it, though. Yeah, the trippy thing, too, man, is like, yeah, I mean, going forward, all that stuff. I feel like the Earth is also at a point now where we are in like that. So when I was 24, 25, right, you get to this point where you're just kind of spending cash and, you know, oh, I got a credit card, and you just put on the credit card and I'm going to live forever and don't care and just doing whatever you want. You know what I mean? Just being reckless, just reckless. And eventually the chickens have to come home to roost, right? Eventually everything has to come to a halt. You know, like you have to stop the spending. You have to cut the credit cards. You have to reevaluate. You have to make reevaluate. You have to make responsible decisions, right? Mm-hmm. You can't carry on that life forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where we're at now. We're at this point where it's like we're all 24, 25, and it's been going in this direction for so long of like just mass consumption and overspending and like cars and fucking all this stuff, cement and cities and like, nah, nah, nah. And eventually it's going to come to this chickens coming home to roost scenario.
I think so too. I think, and blockchain could be a part of that too, you know, again, because a lot of that's cultural. And if we weren't always like that, you know, that, you know, you fast forward 500 years ago in America and stuff, and I don't think Native Americans had any of those problems, you know, and they were really much more enlightened and fulfilled and I think happier overall. And so I think, yeah, right now we have a lot of people that are, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, they've got it all, but they're unhappy. And what we're missing is the self-actualization.
Yes. Yeah, that's a major key. I think that's almost the developed world's plight. Is exactly. Everyone is stuck at the top of the pyramid looking around going, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked, I don't want to talk about it today, but we've talked about, I have, you know, my other company that I was working on kind of alongside Bitfrack, and then Bitfrack started taking off. So I've kind of put the other company on the back burner, but it's a blockchain based social network designed to save the world and to enable people to have that self-actualization and have an impact and, you know, be happy and be fulfilled. And at the same time, contribute to saving the world so that humans don't go extinct. And so we don't kill the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a, I think millennials get a rap for it. You know, they get a bad rap for it, right? Because it's like, oh, you know, you just want to find your purpose. And like, you know what I mean? It sounds so wishy-washy and like, and hippy-dippy. Totally. You know what I mean? But I think actually in reality, I think all the other generations before us were duped.
Yeah.
I think that actually is what happened.
And now we're starting to realize it.
Exactly. And I think the internet set everybody free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what allowed everyone to realize, like, the charade is up. Mm-hmm. Like, now with the internet, you have access to all this information. You can see what other cultures are doing, what other people are doing, all the other ways you can live your life. And we've talked about this, like, this podcast, right? Like, other people's podcasts, books. There's so much information everywhere that you can go like, what the fuck? You can't trick people anymore.
We're not falling for it, yeah.
We're not falling for it anymore. And so I think when you hear like our parents and our grandparents being like, oh, you just entitled kids. You want to just find your passion. It's like, why the fuck would you not want? Why would you not want that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you were just, I'm like, it sucks. I feel bad for the older generations. Because I'm like, you've been duped.
Totally.
Like you've been stuck in this world where you didn't have alternatives to the monetary system. Mm-hmm. You didn't have alternatives to media. You didn't have alternatives to like the type of relationship you wanted or like what you wanted out of your job. It was just like so structured in this box.
It's so true. And that's what Rewrite the Rules is kind of
all
about.
That's what it's all about, right? Yeah, exactly. That's my best pitch right there. I'm taking that audio clip. I'm putting it everywhere online.
I love it. It just clicked for me. I always wondered, what is Alex doing? But now I see it. No, but I think you're onto something there, man. I think that they were duped. In the past, you know, our parents and their parents were all chasing this dream, the American dream of, you know, if you get a good job and if you work hard and if you raise a good family and you save up, then one day you can retire and be happy. What people are finding is that they do all that and they're far from happy.
Right.
And whereas, you know, the people that come on your podcast and stuff, they're not taking that route. And I think they are relatively happier. So I think you're onto something there for sure.
Thanks, man. I'm picturing what kind of cool videos I can put to that audio clip.
I see the wheels are spinning.
Yeah, man. I think, and this is going to be such a huge part of it, you know, and what you're doing and stuff and what the currencies mean. Going back though, I had a question. You mentioned earlier that you were saying that with the cryptocurrency stuff, you can actually do, like records and stuff like that and identification and things like that.
Oh yeah.
So the first thing that came to my mind though is like, is that scary in the sense of like a new world order and the ability to already, you can kind of track people and see all this stuff. Do you think that that's going to contribute to being able to monitor all these different things that maybe people don't want to have?
You know, it could. And we'll have to see how it plays out. You know, in some ways, Bitcoin's actually the most traceable currency because you can see where every single Bitcoin goes. What's anonymous is who it's going to. So those wallet addresses I talked about earlier, until you publish it, everyone can see how much money is in every single Bitcoin wallet out there and who sends money to who. But what's anonymous is who owns that wallet. There's also other coins that are coming up that are completely anonymous, which is pretty scary in terms of, you know, money trafficking and earn laundering and the whole black market and the impact that could have there. Trying to remember what your original question was.
Is it going to like a new world order?
Okay. But I think that there's solutions there. And again, it's going to be ultimately, this is all driven by consumers. And so it's up to the consumers to not necessarily get fully educated. And I don't want to tell people not to go learn about blockchain, but really just understand the important stuff, the benefits. Again, you know, the things that you need to know about the internet to really understand why it's important. And, you know, I think I was talking just earlier with a friend about an idea I had years ago that's now possible because of the blockchain, but it basically enables, it's like a solution to kind of privacy and like internet cookies and advertising in a way where you can, you know, your device can have all of your demographics and all the things that advertisers want. But when you visit any website and stuff, you can give permission to share all that data with them. And, you know, the companies would give you some sort of incentive for that because the advertisers, that's gold to them. But the advertisers don't really care who you are as an individual, as long as they know everything about you and know how to get their message in front of you. And I think that that's got more incentives and a better chance of, you know, succeeding than something that's like, you know, Big Brother style. But we'll see, you know, no one knows where this stuff's going to go, and it's up to the people listening to this and the people out there to go build the right solution and don't adopt the bad solutions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. The fact that you can like, that they really don't, they don't give a shit except they want you to exchange your money with them. Right. They give you your money. So they don't care that I'm actually Alex with brown eyes.
Right.
They just want to know, do you want these pair of swim shorts or not?
Exactly. Yeah. Who is Alex? Not who is Alex, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, what will he buy? Yeah. Not like, who is he as a person?
Exactly.
Yeah, and where's he going next week? Well, I guess they might want that for marketing purposes. It gets so strange so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of information that like Google and stuff has.
It's crazy.
I wouldn't want anyone to see they my have fucking more than search history. With
you. Yeah, exactly.
I read somewhere that it was like, it was something creepy about how Google, like your search bar is like the thing that you would never tell the world. Like the things that you search on Google search are like things that you like, that you wouldn't talk to your family about.
Your deepest, darkest secrets, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Google. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I
like whenever my dick has started to itch a weird way, I'm like, what is the symptoms for herpes? You know what I mean? Like looking up that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. that if you people saw your search results, they're like, they, you know, you'd be like, oh my God, I do not want people to see that.
That is such a good point.
I don't have herpes.
I've always been the type of person that's like, oh, you know, privacy. When I was young, I was like, I don't have anything to hide. Like, I don't care if Alexa's listening to me and stuff. It's like, who wants to listen to me and my friends talk about stupid stuff, you know? But then I saw John McAfee talk about this, and he had a really good point. That's like, you know, everyone's got something to hide. You know, it's like, who's, you know, cheated on their spouse and stuff like that. It's like, you know, do you want your spouse to know that? Who here smokes weed? Do you want your colleagues at work to know that and stuff? And so he made some really good points that even if you don't really think you have something to hide, there is stuff that you don't necessarily want everyone to know, which I thought was a really good point.
That's an excellent point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't need everybody to know mm-hmm. everything.
Exactly. Like your Google search history, for example.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, like, I mean, think about the dynamic you have between your homies, you know? Right? Or like if you and I sit down and we're just shooting the shit about stuff and girls or like, you know, what we do on the weekend or whatever it is, you know, just like you're talking amongst friends and then go have that same conversation with your grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then go have it with maybe if you have a sibling. Right? And then go have it with your boss.
So
and then, and you're still the same person and you're doing the exact same things, but that dynamic and the things you talk about are wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be. Because it's not the same relationship.
That domain of specificity. I don't know. When I hang out with your grandma, we just shoot it, dude.
She doesn't remember shit. So you can talk about whatever, and 5 minutes later, and she'd be like, oh, you're such a nice boy.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. But yeah, you really do. You can't fucking. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with all the information that's out there.
It's going to be – that's one thing. I'm really excited to see what happens. And, I mean, right now, every day, millions and millions of dollars are flowing into the hands of developers, which I think is also really cool because in some of the last big wealth transfers and stuff, it was like, you know, going to these oil tycoons and stuff like that and gold diggers. And now it's going to, you know, nerds who are actually building something of value. Yeah.
Dude, I was thinking about that today as I walked into this building. I shit you not, dude. I shit you not. And I think we've talked about this before how, like – the kids that were maybe stereotypically more, you know, nerds and stuff, you know, like that motif, is that the correct word? That, you know, vibe and stuff like that. They are running this fucking city. Like, they're running the tech world. They're running everything. There's a buddy of mine that's actually from my hometown. He's 23 years old, and he taught himself Ruby and Python and HTML and all that stuff. He's making twice the money I am. He gets way more time off. He can come in at 10, leave at 3. He can work from home. Like, they own this shit.
It's true.
They have all the leverage.
Tech is like, the future. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you better be skilled. The way I see it is right now, and I was just talking to my buddy about this, you better be skilled in either extreme soft skills. Like, you better be so good with people that you can walk into a room and just get a deal done by just being you and just being so good at communicating and listening and empathizing, right? And just being so socially intelligent, you're off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
You better have those soft skills down that they're almost hard. And then you better, on the flip side, or you better have those fucking hard skills. You can code, you can develop, you can do be an engineer, software engineer. And if you're stuck somewhere in the middle, I honestly think that you're fucked.
Yeah.
And in if the you next have both, 20 years.
Then you can, you know, write your own checks, basically.
Yeah. If you have both, if you've got both, then you're going to run.
You're a unicorn. Yeah.
You're a unicorn.
Yeah.
But I really believe that, man. Just seeing how it's going right now and just looking at all the dynamics that are happening and all the changes, yeah. I really think that like if you are find yourself in that middle ground and you're not developing either extreme hard or extreme soft skills, you're going to be stuck in like this middle class, not even middle class, like lower class rut where the jobs I don't think will be that fulfilling.
Yeah.
They won't be that challenging. They'll be there. They'll be enough,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to get to where you really, really want to go. That's my opinion.
I think that's a great point. Yeah. It makes complete sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's crazy. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what all these nerds build for sure. Yeah. I think when a bunch of nerds get really excited like they are right now and like passionate about something, and when you give them, you know, a lot of resources and stuff, cool stuff's gonna happen. So
yeah.
It's gonna be really exciting to see
yeah.
all the stuff get built. And
it's gonna be cool, man.
Mm-hmm. And right I think, you know, I would encourage people who are looking for new stuff to learn about, go learn it. If you really want, you know, a lot of opportunity, there's so much demand for people who understand blockchain and cryptocurrency. And, you know, you don't have to change professions. You know, if you're an accountant, again, a lawyer, a real estate agent and stuff, just becoming savvy and familiar with this type of stuff, again, is going to hedge you from the disruption, and it's going to create a lot of opportunity. So I highly encourage people to get out there and learn about it. Another thing I just wanted to mention that you made me think of is that, you know, I think there's always such a unmet demand for engineers and for like these emerging technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, we've all seen the chart of the exponential curve of technology and how it just grows exponentially faster and faster with every new innovation. And I think that helps to explain why there's almost always a shortage of talent in tech, is that the pace of the evolutions and stuff is faster than the people, you know, people aren't getting trained exponentially quickly. They're not going through school and getting these degrees exponentially faster. So I think tech and stuff is always a safe bet. And I'm not worried about tech getting disrupted. I'm worried about all these industries that tech is impacting getting disrupted.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's going to continue to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, on that positive note, it's all getting disrupted. Where can people find it's Bitfract?
Bitfract.com. Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Check it out. It's
a beautiful, it really is. Yeah. It's a beautiful interface. I still, this helped me a lot understand it. Like you said, I really have to make the effort to be like, I don't need to understand it really. The basic concept, got it. Mm-hmm. And now I do. And it's a place to exchange your cryptocurrency.
Absolutely.
It's simple.
We want to give more of those resources and stuff. I think there's such a huge need for this really simple, stuff for people to wrap their head around it. And there's a lot of noise out there. You know, if there's a lot of noise and scams and stuff and people who are pretending to be experts who aren't experts, the first thing I always say is I am not an expert. I'm just a nerd. I'm just a passionate nerd who loves this stuff. And I'm learning new stuff about it every single day. But even then, that hasn't stopped me from, long before I knew a lot about it, investing and making a lot of money and even building a company that's in the space and stuff, which I've never seen something get traction so quickly and people get so excited about it. We've only had to set up for a matter of weeks and people are making videos around the world about Bitfract and we haven't done any marketing yet. We've just done some social media posts and we went to one conference. So I've never seen anything like this. And I go to these meetups, almost every day in Austin and I see these brilliant engineers and business people who are so excited about the technology and about the possibilities in the future and sharing information and learning from each other. And I see this money. I see these investors who are now saying, I won't invest in you unless you have a token. And I see that. And, I like to think that in the startup space, I'm a couple years in the future. I see stuff years ahead of when the mass market actually gets to see this technology, years ahead of when it's commercialized. So I'm telling you guys, it's happening. It's not going anywhere. The technology is in the infancy stages, but it works and people are building really cool game changing stuff with it. So I'd encourage everyone to figure out what they're willing to lose and invest into a diversified portfolio. And we can help you do that really easily at bitfract.com.
Nice, dude. Good finish. I remember too, just a side note. I remember when you started this company, when I think we got dinner in like November or something. And you were telling me about Cause, which I'm sure we'll do another podcast on that.
Absolutely.
And then we met up like 2 months. I don't know. But there was like a couple months in between there and you're like, oh, yeah, I started something else. And then you came to my birthday thing and you're like, oh, I got to tell you about the new thing. And then it was like, wait, what new thing? And then now you are at Bitfract. It was like within 6 weeks. You're like, oh, yeah, I started this new currency, exchange company and da 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 da. And then now here it is like blowing up.
Yep,
it was literally 6 weeks. Christmas. It was right before Christmas. We went to go see that comedy show.
Yeah,
and then you came over for my birthday barbecue thing. That's at the end of January. So that was five. I would say that was 5, maybe 6 weeks.
And it was brand new. Like what we had then was totally different than what we have now.
Yeah,
and different than what we'll have in 2 weeks. So it's happened really quickly.
That's cool shit,
and,
man.
Yeah, and I've just never seen people get so excited about something so new. We haven't even launched yet. People are just coming out of nowhere and signing up and telling their friends about it and tweeting us.
Well, I got to say too, man, like I don't give a shit about that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in that world at all. You know what I mean? I obviously care about it, but I'm not in that world. Mm-hmm. But the website, like it's so clean and it's so inviting. It's like the first time I saw Google. And I'm not trying to be like grandiose here. I just mean, I remember in fourth grade, I saw Google for the first time and I was taken back by the simplicity of it.
Totally.
It literally blew me away. I remember being in the library, the computer lab, in fucking fourth grade.
Yeah.
I was in fourth grade. It might have been junior high. It might have been a couple years later. But I remember seeing that Google thing and just being like, oh my God, this is something special.
This is going to change the world.
Yeah. I don't know if I consciously thought it's going to change the world, but I saw it and something clicked in my mind where I was like, this is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And because all it was Google and the search bar. It was so clean and simple. It was profound.
And that's it. Where you asked me earlier what the tipping point is going to be in blockchain and Bitcoin, I think those are good examples. Like if we look at the internet industry, Google, I think was a really big tipping point because it just made the whole World Wide Web much more accessible. And even before that, like AOL, I think was a big tipping point because it made the internet itself. Because
it made You've Got Mail with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, and one of the best romantic comedies of all time. Is that...
That's exactly where I was going.
That's where you're going.
So we need some. You need some. Amazing movies in the blockchain space.
Yeah,
really
seriously. We need some romantic comedies about Bitcoin. Like pays for the first date.
I can't wait for that.
Using your Bitfract currency exchange to, and then he like uses some of those to pay for their first date. Dude, this is money. We could write something.
If there's any movie producers out there, hey, we're available.
Yeah.
Know, send me an email.
Yeah. Where can people, what's an email? People want to get in touch with you, learn about Bitfract. What's up? What's your email?
Willy with a Y, W-I-L-L-Y at bitfract.com.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no, I'm happy to chat. Happy to, I can't give trading advice. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I've actually, I put an ad on Craigslist last year that said, if you need help, you know, buying Bitcoin, here's some tips. And I put my referral links in there and stuff. And then I said, or if you want to invest a lot and you're, you know, really curious, like I'm happy to, you know, grab coffee and talk for 30 minutes. And then I started getting blown up every day, multiple people hitting me up. And so I took a couple meetings and then I said, okay, this is way, this is going to be way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, part of the reason why we built Bitfract, because we saw this huge need and demand for people who wanted to get into it, but really had no idea where to begin.
Mm. It's interesting you say the Craigslist thing because I just met up with a like a mentor of mine for coffee on Tuesday, and he said that when he first moved to Austin, he went on Craigslist and he actually made an ad like he was an employer, right? This was like 6 or 7 years ago. He just wanted to see what was out there. Mm. So he made an ad and he like he was an employer for the type of position that he wanted.
Wow.
And it was like it was some type of sales job. And so he posted it. Basically, he posted the job that like he would want by this fake company and stuff, posted it, and he got like, he said he got 800 applications within 2 or 3 days. And he was like, oh my God, I can't compete with this. And he was getting senior director. He was getting all these people with tons
now,
of experience.
Now he's a headhunter.
Yeah, right? No, so what he said he did is he totally said, fuck it to writing and sending in applications. And he just went full throttle into meeting people and networking and like making connections and relationships with people.
To stand out from the crowd.
To stand out from the crowd because he saw that and he was like, I don't stand a chance. I'm entry level and these people, I have no experience and these are senior level people applying for this type of job.
Wow.
Like there's no way I'm going to compete if this is what's going on.
Wow.
So anyway, I think that's cool that you were doing that too. It's that same concept of like almost these free beta testing.
Yeah. One of our investors at Just Legal, I thought he was so cool. He started a company called The Trimmer Store that sold trimmers to dispensaries in Colorado. And the way he started it.
What are trimmers?
It was like a, you know, machine trimmers. So the
oh, trimmers.
Trimmers, yeah. So literally you throw all of the harvest in a this giant machine that spins around. It cuts it all up for you.
Cool.
It's pretty sweet. So the way he started that was he just posted an ad on Craigslist that said, you know, rent my trimmer for $500 a day. And he didn't even own one yet. He just found a picture online. And then people started blowing him up. And so then he ordered one and that was his first one. And now they're doing millions of dollars a year, but it all started with the Craigslist post. So
that's crazy, right? Yeah. It's free. I mean, it's so ingenious. It's so simple and ingenious to just do that, just to see what the demand is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super
and,
smart.
Yeah. I'm all about the lean approach. And that's why we ended up getting Bitfract up and running so quickly is I came out of Just Legal and I had a bunch of ideas for how to do stuff. We built this consulting group. I was putting some feelers out there for cause and talking to some investors and people in the industry. And then Bitfract, you know, we're like, okay, well, I love it because it's so lean. We're able to build on top of Shapeshift, get up and running pretty quickly. And then, you know, test the waters. And when you take that approach, as opposed to trying to, you know, build something really robust and spending $1 million doing it and then hoping that people like what you built, it's a much faster way to not only see if you're to validate or invalidate your hypotheses and assumptions, but it's a great way to improve it. So, you know, we're already getting great feedback from people just by putting that beta website out there on what we can improve and the features that they want to see next. Whereas if we were developing it in-house and not sharing it with the world, we wouldn't have any of that.
Right. And even I think you posted the logo on your Instagram. Which logo should we use?
Yeah.
And didn't the one that you guys liked was the least favorite?
It was the least favorite. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
And so we just went with the one that the crowd liked.
Because, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a cool use of technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Instagram stories are crushing it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just talking about that. So cool, man. Willy at bitfract.com. And dude, I'm sure you'll be on a third time.
I hope so. Yeah.
Soon, dude.
Who knows?
I love having you on here, man. It's so fun every time.
I love coming too. It's a blast. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for having me.
All right, brother.
All right. Much love.
Yeah. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Once again, you can find Willy at bitfract.com. Got all that cool stuff over there. And ostacuba.com. You get 10% off everything. Going to be coming at you with a lot of fresh episodes coming up. A buddy of mine that has been traveling around on a bus for the past year. Owner-operator of Ostacuba, Max, will be talking about how he quit his job and started that company. Badass story. And I will also be starting a new series called Fuck It Fridays, where we interview people
that have decided to say fuck it to some part of their life and took an action on something despite the, what's a good word here? Despite the rebuttals in their mind. So that's all coming up. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.